Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Florida has been missing one piece to its offense that none of us would ever have ever considered. I hope it gets fixed this weekend. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday, and where am I? I'm at the book, Harris Cherokee. Harris Cherokee, Cherokee, North Carolina, two locations. They've got Harris, Valley River, and Murphy, North Carolina. I'll actually be there in a few weeks as well. But today, Harris Cherokee, and it is the official open of the book, live, daily, in person, Vegas-style wagering on collegiate and pro sports. You can do that now at the book at Harris Cherokee. We cut the ribbon earlier today. It is a fun place. And if you're watching on Twitch TV right now on LandryFootball.com, you can see behind me we are live, like I said, in the book, and it is hopping this morning. The first day of March Madness, as it were, the first four tomorrow, it really gets the full slate going. So just a tremendous option for everybody who previously you're thinking, oh, do I have to get on a plane, fly to Vegas? We know what it is. What is it? Delaware, Tennessee, Mississippi, parts of Tennessee, I think, maybe all of it. Mississippi, now North Carolina, and so that's where we are today. I said that Gators have been missing one piece to his offense that just by a casual mind exercise, none of us would have ever even considered. And I'm talking about who's the last receiver at UF with scary sort of torch the secondary downhill speed, met the corner's face mask as he's running past? Yeah, I couldn't recall either. Now, I'm going to add a little bit of caveat there. I'm saying a guy who his game is high octane. Like, I may go run track in Spain for money, for fees. Not only that kind of – that's what his game is. Why are you on scholarship? Because I run fast. But a guy who consistently produced for at least a season or two in Gainesville, and while I can tell you some guys that were track stars – what I'm looking for is the last guy on the perimeter in Gainesville whose game really was built around speed, not quickness. That's Kadarius Toney. But a guy who just that top end, peeled the top off the secondary, and he had a consistent, productive career. And I don't even care if the career was two seasons or three or even four in today's age. I don't know who emerges this year. I don't know if it's Henderson or Jamarcus Weston. They've got choice. Others could step up. Absolutely could. And they've had tremendous players in Gainesville from Antonio Callaway to Demarcus Robinson, who's got a Super Bowl ring now, by the way, to Kadarius Toney, who, again, I believe he is about to be a first-round pick, in my opinion. And as if you're familiar with Gordon Solie, I believe he would say he was more sudden than fast. That would be Kadarius Toney's game was to make you miss and then turn like a hitch into about a 20-yard gain. That was Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney, you go look at his highlights, you know what you don't see very often? It's him catching a pass like 40 yards downfield because that's not his gig. Kadarius Toney's gig was speed and space, those three words. Now, a lot of ways to succeed, and Lord knows Florida's been doing a lot of succeeding. They've been doing it without something that I think all of us, we close our eyes and we think, Florida wide receivers, whoo, they're lighting you up. Smoke coming off their cleats. They've had really good receivers. They haven't had a whole lot of consistent receivers. But they've had good, talented. Like I said, DeMarcus Robinson, I don't know that he ever really set the SEC on fire. He got to the NFL as a fourth-round draft pick. And again, I got nothing personal against DeMarcus. I mean, I saw the physical skills and the size and everything else. And I was of the opinion pretty early that this guy's he's a Sunday player. It never was a whole lot of being a Saturday player in Gainesville. Not enough for a guy that you looked at and said, oh, he's that big and he can run like that and he's got those long arms and the hands and everything else. And he was good enough and he was productive and he had some moments. He wasn't consistent. And he wasn't one of those guys you looked at and said, oh, 4.29? They've had good receivers. But, and it's just a curiosity. Like I said, maybe you don't even have to have it. I don't know. If you want to win a title, maybe you can do it with a bunch of guys that run, you know, 4.58, which can be just fine. But the real burner, who consistently put up big numbers as a result of that, that has not been in large supply in Gainesville. We're on in Gainesville. We're on a bunch of places in Florida. And if there is a Gator fan right now, Tyree Cleveland, he was fast. Yes, he was. And I mean, like, Tyree Cleveland, kid that was out of Texas that was committed to Houston. And then Florida flipped him either signing day or day before or something. But Tyree Cleveland, big, 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 big time recruit and absolutely fire on his feet. World class. Tyree Cleveland played four full seasons at Florida. Caught 79 passes. It is something we never really expect to be the case with the Gators. And it may change this season. All right, it's supposed to be Copeland, but Jacob, you need to stop dropping passes. It could be Jacob Copeland. Physical skills, not a whole lot of limit. But, again, it's just one of those oddities. I looked at it and I was like, who was the last high-octane guy that, like, may go run for fees over in Europe? Like, matches. This guy gets 10 grand. This guy gets – everybody gets 10 grand, and if you win, you get another 50. Maybe he does that. There's a lot of different ways to succeed, but – it just was really surprising when I started taking a little personal inventory and could not remember the most recent one. Like I said, there's a chance there's plenty of candidates this year, but consistently productive, and that's what your game is based around. Surprised me, hadn't been around very much. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It's a Thursday. You know what we do. Brought to you by Low T Nation. Up next, Joe Hamilton on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Go.
The Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today. It's time for The Game Plan with College Football Hall of Famer Joe Hamilton.
Touchdown, Georgia Tech. Nobody throws a fade better than Joe Hamilton.
Presented by Low T Nation. Get your game plan ready for optimized health at lowtnation.com.
It is a Thursday. It is, my gosh, we start the show with him practically live from Atlanta. I'm in Harris, Cherokee, North Carolina. It is a former Heisman finalist, College Football Hall of Famer, and Super Bowl champion, Joe Hamilton. Joe, how you doing today, man?
Outstanding. I'm in Suwannee at Bears Best Golf Club at the Chili Dips Open, and I'm about to have me a bowl of really, really good solid chili, Chuck. How are you?
Oh, man, you're living the good life today, playing golf and eating chili. Let's talk about spring practice, and I have an opinion. The best coaches at the best programs, there are no casual comments. There's a reason you do everything. Tell me what Ed Orgeron is thinking when he gives Max Johnson, the returning the second-year quarterback, the first reps with the first-team offensive line in the first practice, but then afterwards says, oh, it doesn't mean anything. Could that really be the case that it doesn't mean anything, or is there always an action and a reason?
There's always an action and a reason, Chuck, but I tell you what Ed Orgeron is doing, he's rewarding what happened at the end of last year. If I'm not mistaken, Max Johnson won the last game that they played. He looked very, very good. And you're going to decide as a coach, although the job is wide open, somebody has to take the first step or the first snap. And I remember there's always something going through mat drills, early morning workouts in the winter leading up to spring ball at all positions, whether it's wide open, whether it's going to be, you know, even Stevens on the reps. Whoever takes that ball first, that first snap, is the guy that moment. You are the guy that's going to be or won the job, so to speak, in 1 week or 2 weeks. You won the off-season workout. So what that says to me is that they are really, really proud of what Max Johnson has done. He has not separated himself from the other guys, but we're going to reward him because of last year, and he didn't do anything to lose the job quite yet on the football field.
I want you to actually put some facts and experience to something that, you know, a lot of us fans, media, whoever, we talk, but you actually did it. When we talk about a kid like T.J. Finley, and I'm just using this as an example, he's the third guy in Baton Rouge. That's the general understanding. That's the expectation is he'll finish third. If he decides to do like so many other quarterbacks and just try to find somewhere else to play, God bless the kid, go try to get your snaps. What is the challenge? Because we always make a big deal. Oh, new coordinator, new system. He's got to learn a new playbook. He's got to do. What is the reality about that?
Well, the reality is that why did you leave, number one? Did you leave because there's a superstar in front of you and there's no way you're going to get playing time because maybe you are in the same class as freshmen or maybe 1 year apart and then I have to go somewhere else and I'm going to take the brunt of learning a new playbook, being in another environment? That's a little different than you were griping, that you're not quite performing and you don't think you were being fair or treated fairly, and then you want to be out. Keep in mind about this transfer portal. Most often than not, I'm with you as far as I don't like kids when they lose the job or face adversity or have competition. They get right out and, you know, they don't give it a chance for another spring. But some cases, Chuck, is where when you sit down with the coach and you ask them, what's my role? How do you see me going in the future? What's the plan for me? Sometimes those coaches are brutally honest. Maybe you need to try and test the waters, or this is how I see you, and they're being transparent and honest, and sometimes a tough pill to swallow, but your best option, the best scenario, is to see if the grass is green on the other side.
Joe, I want to go over to Tallahassee and ask you about Mackenzie Milton, because I'm thinking now, and I hate to bring this up, but I was thinking about that Florida State game, and I was like, I remember Joe getting bounced around like he was in a pinball machine, but I don't remember you actually having a devastating sort of season-ending injury. In the case of Mackenzie Milton, I mean, it was beyond that, Joe. He almost had to have an amputation, for gosh sakes. Nerve damage, all that. When we talk about that concept of he hadn't cut it loose yet, go through that with a kid returning to practice and full contact the first time, because that is a psychological Mount Everest.
Yes, and that is so, so true. I tore my ACL as well, and you can do all the rehab. You can feel good running with the trainers, and you think that you're turning on. I want you to turn it on and run full speed now. Sprint. And they can say you've done better from week to week and you're progressing well. There's no more tear. You're fully healthy. But none of those drills are somebody coming at you. None of those drills of you making up all of a sudden move. They're all calculated. If somebody puts a cone out there and have me do a four-man weave and the cutting drills, it's kind of calculated, but it's not calculated on the football field. That's when you talk about reaction. I go back to JT Daniels last year. We have heard the whole time, he's healthy, he's healthy, he's healthy. And then the staff didn't quite see the instincts take over.
And yeah.
The instinct will never, ever take over until you get in the football game. Chuck, I remember when I was going through my rehab and I thought I was playing basketball and getting ready for the season and I was ready. But football wise, I landed on my knee, on my kneecap, and I said, ah, ah, ah. And the trainers came on and they did the knee test, and all of a sudden, I was quite fine. It was just a shock. And yeah. not having been there before and having to trust that knee. So trusting it with the trainers is much, much, much different than trusting it on the football field.
All right. Now, you played for Ralph Regan in college, and, I mean, it worked. You wind up in the Hall of Fame. But even what Coach Friesian had going, you know, late 90s, talk about something like what we all expect DJU at Clemson this year. I mean, the thought is with ETN and the pros, it's, I mean, first and 10, you know, third and two, shotgun, four wide, five wide, whatever. I don't know if that's how it plays out, but just talk about that sort of offense because, I mean, there might have been two or three teams in all of college football that were in that 20, 25 years ago. There might be two or three in each division that go that way.
Yes, and that's how Coach Dabo Sweeney has recruited. That's what he wants. He wants to keep that offense in unison, being able to do the different things with the quarterback outside the pocket, getting the balls out of their hand quickly. Can also run a power game. You know, that's another thing. He's going to utilize his legs a little bit more. But make no mistake about it. The biggest thing that happened for Clemson and DJU coming back this year is when Trevor Lawrence missed that game. For him to get that taste and where he had that game at up in South Bend. So it's not going to be that much more of an environment or as a true freshman or even as a sophomore that he hasn't seen. Yes, he's going to be on film and he's going to see more defenses, but to get that experience with that kind of talent last year, most of his offensive line is coming back this year, he's going to be very, very, very comfortable to where, in my opinion, we're going to look at him and say, wow, the Clemson Tigers have another one. They have another star that will be a top five draft pick in 4 or 5 years. I mean, in two years. That's what I see, and that's what you're getting in DJU. And, again, he's got a different skill set than Trevor Lawrence, but that coaching staff will make sure they maximize what he has to offer.
Wrapping up with Joe Hamm from Low T Nation. Joe, last thing I want to ask you about, and we got about a minute and a half here, so you can talk a little bit. Coach Prime over at Jackson State, you know, they're winning and it's fun, it's exciting, and, you know, he's bringing a lot of attention and also some increase in recruiting. I have a lot of value for the Jackson States and Gramblings and the history in that game, but it's all history. Do you think that there's any chance that Coach Prime actually brings even a little bit of permanence, or is this just an immediate pop because of his name? And that's what I fear, and I don't like that.
Well, I think it's more than an immediate pop. I would like to see how long he stays there, but make no mistake about it, Coach Prime wants to coach. He wants to develop these guys. He wants to give the knowledge. And you can tell by the staff that he hired that he's not playing any games. He wants to build around the notoriety and actually raise money and awareness, yes. But on that football field, everything I'm hearing in the practice facility, during the games, everything I'm hearing, that's ran like an outstanding program. That's ran in terms of development on and off the football field. And when you get that and word of mouth starts spreading, oh, wow. You wait until he gets first, second, or maybe third round draft pick, and that person has success, and you're almost assuming it or, you know, putting it that's Prime, guys. Prime helped me develop this, and this is why I'm here. I think it can take off.
All right, Joe, I'm jealous. Go ahead.
The only question about it is, is he willing to stay there and not see immediate results?
Absolutely, yeah, because, he's getting them now against sort of a different sort of schedule, but when they get back into league play and things are a little normal, that's going to be another test. But he's succeeding right now. Joe, like I said, I'm jealous, man. You got golf and chili. Good for you, brother.
Yes, sir. Can't wait to talk next week, Chuck.
All right, Joe Hamilton again from Low T Nation. And I've just been keeping an eye on it because there have been recruits, multiple recruits, including one that's a son, and former recruits who want to transfer heading to Jackson State. And this is something we brought up with Chris Landry about a month ago, and I said, it looks like a football team. It looks like it's supposed to. And I know it's early and the weird backdrop and all that, but just really, really excited for at least some of the early returns and just wondering about the permanence of it.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Normally, I tell you, 9 states, 51 sticks. Well, today we're in one of those states, North Carolina, live from Harris Cherokee Casino and Resort in Cherokee, North Carolina. Behind me, you can see, if you're watching on Twitch TV, Landry Football, you can see the book. It is officially open now, and there is live in-person wagering, pro and collegiate sports, whatever you want, you got it here. I was asking a question yesterday, and it was pure curiosity. It was like what I was talking earlier, the Florida wide receivers. It's just the time of year where I think you're supposed to do this. How long since? Who's the next? What if? How many? What would it take? It's just all these scenarios. And one of the things I look at when I'm getting ready for spring and different programs is I'm like, what's missing there? What am I used to seeing that maybe this year it's just – it could be there. It's just not apparent. I asked a question yesterday. I was like, every spring, I know who the best Alabama offensive lineman is. This year, I got no idea. Now, I think there are probably five future first-round picks on the roster at offensive line. I just don't know who. They're supposed to be, hey, oh, yeah, Cyrus, or it's Cam, or whoever. Bring on a guest now who knows as much about that program as anybody, and I bet he can at least lob a guess from 97.7 ESPN Huntsville. It is Drew DeArmond. Drew, welcome. How are you today?
Good, Chuck. How are you doing, brother?
Doing pretty good. Getting ready to do a little live sports wagering as soon as I'm off the air. Can't wait to do it. But I want to ask you, and you were on the line there when I was bringing you on. Like, there might be four or five future first-round picks, but as far as spring 2021, Drew, I was taking inventory. I can't remember the last spring, not with Nick Saban there, who it wasn't obvious. Oh, yeah, this is the war daddy. This is the guy. Who, in your opinion, is the best offensive lineman in Tuscaloosa right now?
I think it's Evan Neal. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think he's going to make the transition from the right side to the left, like Jonah Williams did. I think, you know, that's the money-making position, so to speak. The offensive tackle spot in the NFL, offensive line-wise, especially the left side, protecting the quarterback's blind side. There's so few left-handed QBs like a Tua Tagovailoa in the NFL. But just about all of them are right-handed guys. And I think that Evan Neal was brought in. He's had to do, an apprenticeship, so to speak, or a transition to the right side due to the fact that, as you said, there was a high-level player in Alex Leatherwood. I don't know that he'll be a first-rounder. I still think he's going to be a guy that goes in the second round and maybe plays a long time like a Cam Robinson in the NFL. But certainly the left tackle spot is the premier, money-making position in the National Football League. And I think Evan Neal will be that guy this year in Tuscaloosa.
All right, I've talked O-line and secondary. Those are the two positions where, I mean, knowledge and experience, it's its own little skill. What about Chris Owens? What is he in addition to old?
He's kind of a Swiss Army knife. He can play any spot. You know, I think, you know, he'll get a look at least two or three different places in the spring. I would think he would start out at center where he's played the majority of his career. But I do think that he'll get a look at right tackle as well. It's going to depend on the development and the readiness of a Darian Dalcourt, who I know they've been grooming for a while. He'll, certainly be heading into his junior season in Tuscaloosa. And of course, we all know this year didn't count, quote unquote. So you could still call him a sophomore, but he's a very talented player. Who played, for Biff Pogey at that powerhouse program in the state of Maryland. So I know that they think he has a chance to be a special player, no doubt about it, from St. Francis. But, I'm not sure they thought he was quite ready last year. So it's going to be interesting. But I do think if he doesn't end up at center as far as Dalcourt, he'll get a look at one of those guard spots. But I think right now Chris Owens will start out at center due to being a senior and being a guy that Nick Saban trusts. But I think he'll also get a look at right tackle as well.
All right, I'm going to go way the other way. And there's a guy you talked about. It was signing day, I believe. And if it was a high school player in Alabama, I mean, if you hadn't seen him, you can give a pretty good opinion. And you talked about JaQuincy McKinstry as maybe as athletic a freshman coming into Bama as you could remember in a while. I talked to a buddy of mine who kind of covers the South Alabama area, and he was saying McKinstry may be good enough to play basketball at Alabama as well. But stepping in for Patrick Surtain is also a scenario. Tell us what you know about that kid you call Kool-Aid.
Well, I mean, I think he's a great talent. I think he's a big-time player. And what I mean by that, he's a big game player. I saw him a couple of different times on big stages in the high school football playoffs when they took out a really good Oxford team who had beaten them the year before and had really, Rock Taylor, a wide receiver that we all know that was a high – that was a high drama situation with him, being his scholarship not being honored by Tennessee. He ended up at Memphis, but he was an outstanding high school player who had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons and high-level football in our state. And, he had really given JaQuincy McKinstry some problems when they were juniors, but when they were seniors, Kool-Aid completely shut him down, no catches. The defensive line from Sam Shade's group at Pinson Valley really controlled that game. I think they had 12 sacks of their quarterback, the young man who is going to play baseball at Mississippi State. So they did a great job, of pressuring the QB that day, and their secondary was just locked down. And then when I had a chance to see him again in the state championship game against Spanish Fort, he they didn't test him too much at DB. But he took the game over as a wide receiver in the second half because they were trailing in the game late into the third quarter. And he ended up with 6 catches for nearly 100 yards and the game-winning touchdown. And he was voted MVP. And then, of course, as we know, Mr. Football. But to me, just watching him on both sides of the ball, he's a guy that rose to the occasion. And certainly he's going to be able to compete for Surtain's job. He's coming in there, I know, with the mentality that he wants to play as a freshman, and I'm not going to call that he's going to start by any stretch, but I do think in the near future that JaQuincy McKinstry is going to be a big-time factor in the secondary, whether it be at corner or at free safety. But right now that corner spot is wide open, and we'll see if he can compete for it, if it's maybe the JUCO Ronald Williams, who didn't play a lot last year, kind of got hurt early and kind of fell behind, or if it's going to be another – a guy like a Marcus Banks who's going to take advantage of an opportunity in the spring.
Malachi Moore was a guy that got a lot of attention last year early, and it makes sense to me. Him and Branch both, actually. Talk about some of the young talent in the secondary in addition to whatever McKinstry shows up and finds.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think that, honestly, there is a lot of good young talent. I love Brian Branch. I mean, he made a lot of waves early until Malachi Moore kind of overtook him late in fall camp. Malachi had a great year but was banged up at the end of last season, which allowed Branch to play a bigger role in the playoff run. I think both of them have a chance to have big-time roles in the secondary. They're both ball hawks. Both have special ball skills and instincts to play back there in the secondary. I just mentioned Ronald Williams. I know they liked him a lot early, but he got banged up. It's going to be interesting to see now that he's healthy. I really liked the physicality and the development of DeMarco Hellams from the state of Maryland. I thought as the year went on, he got a lot better. And certainly the bell cow back there will be Jordan Battle, who will be going into his junior season, should kind of be the captain of the ship back there. But I will say the one that I'm kind of really intrigued about is Kyrie Jackson, the junior college player. Now, the interesting thing is, as you know, Chuck, he didn't play last year due to COVID. didn't really have a season. But when you watch his tape, both in high school and then when he was in the JUCO system in Kansas, he was tremendous. He didn't get a chance to play for Buddy Stevens at East Mississippi. But I know that they like how physical he is. He is legit 6'2", and he's off the charts athletically. And usually when Nick Saban brings in a JUCO, he thinks you can come in and be a factor early. But it's just going to depend on how quickly that young man can kind of catch on to the scheme mentally. But I do think, no doubt about it, that Tyree Jackson's got to watch. And Josh Jobe, he's going to be the bell cow back there they build around from a corner perspective. He improved and matured quite a bit last year, and I thought had a really solid year and is going to be counted on to be an all-SEC-level corner this season.
Wrapping up with Drew DeArmon again from 97.7 in Huntsville, and I want to move up to the defensive line. And if that's where it comes from, where's the pass rush this year? Who's that going to be, or the few who's will that be?
Well, of course, outside linebackers, Chris Allen and Will Anderson are going to be tremendous. I think they got a chance to be the best combination in the country.
Yeah, can I ask you real quick about Will Anderson? Because as a freshman last year, I mean, it was week after week I kept thinking, all right, well they're going to figure him out. They're, the coaching is too good. He was a freshman, and, I mean, you look every week, it was pressure. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he led the nation in pressures. He had over 60. It took him a while to get going with sacks, but the second half of the year he ends up piling up 7. He was as good a pass rusher, I think, as there was. Chris Allen was kind of steady as she goes. He ended up with about 6 sacks last year and really, I thought, was a great all-around player at the Sam spot. He got, he was able to pressure the QB. He also played the run very well, and now he's extremely experienced. So I think that combo right there is going to be the best in the country. The D-line is going to – I know, you lose Christian Barmore, who's very disruptive, who I think should be a first-round pick. The guy to watch to me, if he can stay healthy for the first time in his career, is LeBryan Ray. I know he's gotten some buzz to be an all-conference player the last 2 years. Was starting to come into his own 2 years ago and got hurt against South Carolina. Then he got hurt again last year. They need him to be healthy. And Byron Young also had an injury late in the year last year. Mm-hmm. He had been more consistent. The one that's going to be kind of the guy that they're going to count on early as the captain of the group, and then the guy that I think, just much like Chris Allen at the linebacker spot, quietly was came into his own, was Fedarian Mathis. He came back to school. He's a kid from Louisiana who Neville, Louisiana, who I know they liked a lot coming out. It took him a couple of years to get going, but I thought he was really consistent last year, and I think he's going to be someone to watch. And then, of course, the man that I think is going to be the next great one is Tim Smith. I thought his development last year, his disruptiveness, when D.J. Dale was coming back from the knee injuries, wasn't himself, but I thought when they inserted Tim Smith into the middle of that defensive line at the halfway point of the season last year, Chuck, I thought it kind of transformed that defense. And I think Smith, now that he's gotten his feet wet, he's going to go through a spring practice at Alabama. Watch out for him in the fall to be the breakout guy like Barmore was a year ago.
All right, last thing for you, and this is so different because coming off a year of the pandemic where nobody really traveled or spent a whole lot of money for the most part, et cetera, but Bama fans, I mean, you and I have talked before, it was wallet weary with so many preseason, the kickoff games and playoff, 2 rounds of that and everything. I don't see us having very many attendance caps come September. I think within about 2 months, anybody who – you can get 5 vaccines if you want. What do you think the Alabama – how are they going to represent in Atlanta versus Miami in week one? I think it's actually going to be a little bit of a resurgence because they didn't get to do much last year.
Well, I think they're praying and hoping and crossing their fingers and toes that it's going to be a full house. I mean, I think that's what everyone wants. You talked about the vaccines that are becoming available. Certainly I think that they're going to be by May. I know they're really hoping that everything is going to be fully dispersed. And I think if that's the case, we probably are not going to have a normal spring practice from the standpoint of they're not going to have a full house for A Day. They're certainly going to have the restrictions put in place for that. And they've already set the guidelines for practice starting tomorrow. There will not be, viewing periods and things of that nature. And It's going to be much like it was during the fall. But I think when fall practice comes around, hopefully things are going to return to the normal routine where everyone's used to. I certainly hope and pray to be in attendance for that game against the Miami Hurricanes. Didn't get a chance to see the Tide in person last year. Watched every game from afar, but I think everyone's looking forward to that opener. And the Canes have improved. They're going to definitely be a top 15 opponent. And then Alabama, they'll be highly ranked in the top two or three in the country. But so many intriguing storylines. A new era at quarterback, new OC, really a new offense in its entirety with all the competition on the O-line, the wide receivers, and the running backs. So even though Brian Robinson is slated to return. So I think they're hoping and they're counting on being a full house in Atlanta against Miami to kick off 2021.
Always love talking Tide with this man. It is Drew DeArmond out of Huntsville. Drew, thank you, brother. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, we'll take a break from Harris Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina. Back to wrap up Hour 1 next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Art Briles' offense, basically nothing in it would help you play in the NFL. The way you read defenses, the way you go through, I'm not saying it wasn't prolific, but none of it translates. Gus Malzahn's offense at Auburn, I think, is even further from NFL than Art Briles.
Yes, yes, and yes. Don't disagree with any of that at all. Chuck Oliver Show continuing. That's Jordan Palmer, by the way, talking about Gus Malzahn and his offense. Chuck Oliver Show live from Harris Cherokee Casino and Resort in Cherokee, North Carolina. The book open right behind me. The book you can wager on pro and collegiate sports, same as Vegas, same as anywhere else now. It's just tremendous all throughout the state of North Carolina. So we are here again in Cherokee, North Carolina at the casino and resort. He was talking about Gus Malzahn's offense, and there is a balancing act there that ultimately, and you can do this if you're at the FCS level, you really can, way more than when you get into Power 5 football, for instance, or Group of 5, you can still, but when your goal is to win a conference championship at a Power 5 level and hopefully be in the playoffs, I can't really say win the national championship. You got to get to the playoffs and then win two games against outstanding opponents. If that's your goal, you need NFL players. Now, what do you mean NFL players as college? Yeah, you need NFL players that you look at on a Saturday and go, yep, he's a Sunday guy. Yep, he's a three-year guy. You have to have a lot of those guys if you're going to win anything of substance in Power 5 football. Well, how do you get a bunch of Sunday guys? By putting a bunch of guys into the league. That's how you get a bunch of future NFL players, as they look at your program and go, oh, wow, look, offensive line, quarterback, secondary, whatever it is. And that was not what was going on. Now, Gus's job, when I say it's a balancing act, ultimately Gus's job was to win games at Auburn. Now Gus's job is to win games in Orlando. It is not to be a feeder program for the NFL. But again, we know the relationship there that you're just not going to have. You're not going to have a whole lot of sustained success unless you get grown men who are NFL players, and they're just not going to go to a 3 or 4 year just pitfall where they don't have as good a chance to get in the league as the next guy. So that undid, I think, the offensive line, honestly, at Auburn and the recruiting there. So, again, Jordan Palmer talking about that. Greg Robinson, second overall pick. He was in no way, I mean, no way, no how at all prepared to play NFL football based on what he had been asked to do at Auburn. So that's just an example of it. Dan Matthews, how are you today?
Oh, everything's great. And, you know, it looks and sounds like you guys are having a great time down there. And, of course, you know, people out there, hey, wait a minute, Dance Radio. What are you talking about? Looks. You can always check out the show every day, twitch.tv/ChrisLandryFootball, the way that you can look at us on Twitch. And you can see Chuck right there in the book right there at the moment. You know, Jermaine Johnson, I think, is somebody that's really interesting to look at for Florida State this year, because Chuck, I don't know if you realize this, he actually was a factor last year for Georgia and was somebody that was able to get, I'll say, adequate pressure on the quarterback, because as a team as a whole, they did not really get great pressure on them. But I think he also is a guy that at least could show himself and show the team, hey, I can do this at this level. I got the speed. I got the bend. I've got all these different types of things that you look for out of being a pass rusher. And for Florida State, that is something that they have woefully missed the last few years. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of things they've woefully missed, and the results have shown as much. But getting him on campus, I think, might be the biggest win all offseason for Mike Norvell in coming into year two, which really, Chuck, when you think about it, for the most part, this is year one for Mike Norvell, because he didn't really have a spring last year. He had a handful of times to get out on the field with the team, but then he lost the team and had to get them back and kind of had to get them reprogrammed all over again, as opposed to coaches who are able to get the spring, the summer, everything else of the such. And I think that having a guy like Jermaine Johnson on campus is a huge help for you. And also, too, as we've talked about before, if the one-time transfer gets approved, I think that you're going to have Mike Norvell out there even more saying, hey, that guy on one side of the defensive line, does anybody else want to come join him too and have an opportunity to get after the quarterback? Because if you're not getting it done at your school, guess who has a spot for you? Us down here in Tallahassee. And oh, by the way, it's pretty fun when we went down here in Tallahassee. If you want to be a part of that and be a part of that resurgence, please come join the guy that wears number 11 and wants to get after the quarterback.
At the level of Florida State, they play in a Power 5 in a division with as good a program as there is in America. At the level that Florida State plays and what that program has been for about 40 years until the past few seasons, you're not winning with scheme. You need good scheme. You need responsible scheme. You need to put the players in position to succeed. Absolutely. All of that is true. I swear every word of it. If you ain't got ponies, you can bring Vince Lombardi back from the grave. Scheme ain't gonna do it. Go Google your computer. Find all the stuff that Tom Landry invented, like the middle linebacker. I'm not kidding, folks. He invented it. The 40 defense, the shotgun formation. Tom Landry would see stuff and go, yeah, I think there's a better way. Tom Landry ain't scheming a Power 5 team to any sort of title if they don't have horses. It's what I was just talking about with Gus. If you're coaching at, and there's no disrespect, this is just true, you're coaching at Sam Houston State, or maybe even you're coaching at Tulsa, I can scheme some stuff. On a Saturday in Power 5, you might be able to scheme some things, or plays, or a series, or a two-point attempt. But it comes down to the ball players, and you got to get them, and Mike Norvell knows that. It's a good scheme, but you got to have the ponies.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.